Good morning. Wow, that was weak. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Student Chapel. I'm your host, Landon Elliott, here with Stephanie Empson. It's good to see you all. If you guys can stand, we're going to start the morning off with some song. Me, let love
explode and bring the dead to life. A love so bold to see revolution somehow. Let love explode and bring the dead to life. A love so bold to see revolution somehow. Now I'm lost in your freedom. This world I'll overcome.
Shut it up!
My God is not dead. He's surely alive and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. My God's not dead. He's surely alive and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. He's roaring like a lion. Let hope. Let hope arise and make the darkness side. My faith is dead, I need a resurrection somehow. Let hope arise and make the darkness side. My faith is dead, I need a resurrection somehow. Now I'm lost in your freedom. This world I'll overcome. My God is not dead, he's surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. My God is not dead, he's surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. My God is not dead, he's surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. My God is not dead, he's surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival. Let heaven roar and fire fall.
Sing it out.
Heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival. Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival. Surely alive and he's living. on the inside, roaring like a lion. My God is not dead, he's surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. My God is not dead, he's surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. My God is not dead, he's surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. He's roaring like a lion. Desert, when all that's within me feels dry. This is my prayer and my hunger and need. My God is the God who provides. And this is my prayer in the fire, in weakness or trial or pain. There is a faith proved and more worth than gold. So refine me, Lord, through the flame. And I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and he is here. And this is my prayer in the battle, when triumph is still on its way. I am a conqueror and co-heir with Christ, so firm on his promise I'll stand. And I will bring praise, I will bring praise.
No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare,
God is my victory and he is here. All of my life, in every season, you are still God, and I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. Sing it out, you guys. All of my life, in every season, you are still God, and I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. All of my life,
all of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship.
One more time, all of my life.
All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship.
And I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and he is here.
I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare,
God is my victory and he is here. My prayer in the harvest, when favor and providence flow, and I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received, I will sow.
Pardon me while I tune. This next song is one of my favorites, and we played it a lot last semester over the speakers when everyone was walking in, and I don't know, it's a really powerful song. It's called All the Poor and Powerless, and there's a part at the end where it gets really loud, and at that part I require you guys to get really loud. Please. So, let's try this.
To the masses, that He is God. Yeah.
Shout it. Go on and scream it
from the mountain.
Go on and tell it to the masses
that He is God. And we will sing out Alleluia, and we will cry out Alleluia, we will sing out Alleluia.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning of life, God. And God, we're so grateful for the love that You give us, God, and that the fact that You're alive in us and working in us, God, and working in this school and in the people in this school to do great things, Lord. I pray that we wouldn't be afraid to shout it, to go yell it from the mountain, to yell it in the dorms, in the streets, in Elizabeth City, all over the world, God. I pray that our passion is set to... is set on fire to further Your kingdom and to tell of the great things that You've done, Lord. We love You so much, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so you can have a seat. That was sweet. That was awesome. So I was 12, 13 years old. My mom had just married my stepdad, and they hadn't been married too long. Let me tell you about my stepdad, and then let me tell you a little bit about me, and then that'll help you with the story. My stepdad is a just all-out man, okay? He loves to do things with his hands. He likes to hike. He likes to just be outdoors. When I was 12, 13, 14, I liked to be inside. I liked air conditioning. I liked video games. The only times I liked to sweat when I was young was if the coaches were watching or if the girls were watching. You know what I mean? I didn't like to go out to these places. All right, so you needed to know that about my stepdad. You needed to know that about me. My stepdad had this habit of picking us up from school. And we'd get in the car, and once we realized we weren't going home, we'd ask the question, Tim, where are we going? And he would just get this kind of smirk on his face, and he'd say, crazy. And it would literally drive you crazy because you would ask him over and over, where are we going? Crazy, where are we going? Crazy, where are we going? Crazy. And so one weekend, he says, all right, pack your bags. Here's the list. See, he likes these adventure things. I'm really not. I like surprises, but I hate it when I don't know beforehand. You know what I mean? So I really don't like surprises. So he says, here's a list of stuff, and what I want you to do is just pack a bag. So it's obvious that we're going somewhere, but me and my sister, we ask over and over, where are we going? Crazy. Where are we going? Crazy. Yeah, you're right. I am going crazy. And so we get in the car. We start to head out. And we've been traveling for... few hours. I'm from Kentucky. Please don't hold that against me, but you travel down 75 for a while, and then you go off these back roads for a while, and it's obvious that we're not going to be staying in a hotel. It's obvious that the video games that I snuck into my bag won't be able to plug in where we're going. We go to this place called Red River Gorge. It sounds like fun, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. It does not sound like fun. Well, it does now. But to 11 and 12-year-old, whose most workout during the day is going from downstairs to upstairs to get a soda to go back downstairs to play video games, this doesn't sound like fun to me. Get out of the car, grab your bag, let's go. I mean, we're going camping. This stinks. We're going camping, and we're headed out, and I'm like nervous because I'm scared, but I'm also 12, so I don't want to show that I'm scared, but I'm terrified, and my little sister's like, yo, let's do everything, let's play in the dirt, or I don't know what people do when they camp, but that's what she wanted to do. I'm like, can we go home now? I mean, we've walked like 10 steps, can we go home? And we keep going, and we just keep walking, and I'm complaining because my back hurts, and I'm carrying this bag, and I'm sweating, and I'm irritated, and we just keep walking. Finally, we set up our camp. The first night, we have a campfire. It's fun. And my stepdad's starting to show me things, and I'm starting to grow a little more comfortable. Okay, I'm a little more at ease. There's no one else around, so it's just us, and he's showing me, like, how to start a fire, how to put up the tent, and all these things that I didn't know before. We go, and we rappelled. Dude, we rappelled. That was so sweet. We rappelled down a cliff. Well, what I would think as a cliff, it was probably about as high as a stage. But we rappelled, and it was sweet. And I'm like, I'm at ease now. I'm actually having fun. I'm enjoying this. Third day came. We're about ready to head back. And we start walking next to this river. And we're headed, from whatever they tell me, we're headed back. And look, like the boy in me is gone. I'm a man. I just camped for a weekend. I'm 12 years old, but I'm starting to grow a beard just because of this experience. Like, I'm so excited. I'm a camper. I'm a outdoorsman now. So instead of walking by the river, I decide I'm going to get in the river. I'm going to walk. No, let me use my camping verbiage. I'm going to traverse this river. So while they're walking, I'm traversing the river. Right down the middle, man. And I'm just like slapping waves because it's a current. I mean, this is a huge river. It's probably more like a creek. But in my eyes, it's a river. And I'm just like walking, grabbing just fish with my bare hands, you know what I mean, and throwing them out of the way. And I'm just walking down this river. I have no worries in the world. I have a book bag on. Now, I don't remember what was in this book bag, but I knew that there was some stuff in there, and it was in plastic bags. Okay. The only thing I remember is that when I would lay back on this bag, I would float. Just to tell you about how just ferocious this river was, I could float at the pace, if not slower, than my parents are walking along the bank. So I'm floating. No worries in the world. My mom yells down, "Don't get swept away by the current." What? I don't know where this river goes. So here's my new mindset. I don't know where this river goes. I could get eaten by piranhas, sharks, or alligators in the middle of Kentucky. This river could sweep me away. I don't know where it leads to. It might lead to the Nile River. I don't know. And so I'm floating, and she says, "Don't get swept away by the current." I start screaming, "Help me, help me, help me, help me." I'm flailing my arms and my legs, and for whatever reason, I can't get off of this book bag. And I am this 12-year-old man just turned into a 4-year-old kid because I'm screaming for my mom. I'm crying. I mean, no, it was the water. It was the water on my face. I'm crying, I'm screaming, I'm yelling, "Mom, Tim, Mom, Tim." My stepdad is, he's bent over laughing, and my mom's just watching. Okay, hope you guys have parents like mine. And I don't know what to do. I am going to die. Once I heard my mom over my own screaming voice, this is what I hear. Stand up! Stand up! So I'm like just frazzled. Yeah, I looked down because the water didn't come up past my knees. In the midst of all of this, I'm panicking and freaking out. And I look up and my mom just yells, stand up! You're beginning this new semester. You are a MACU Mustang. Maybe this is continuing for you. Okay, maybe you've been a student. Maybe this is your third or fourth year. Maybe this is your first semester. Look, stand up. That's what I'm asking you to do today. Stand up. Not literally. Please stay seated. But stand up. Stand up. We're going to look at my favorite passage in the Bible today. And what it's asking us to do is stand up. We, for too long as Christians, are okay with the world we live in. We want to stand back because we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. We want to stand back because we don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to get embarrassed. We don't want to get asked a question that we don't know the answer to. We stand back, off to the side. There's a river that's going wild, and we're just floating on our backpack like there's nothing wrong at all. Meanwhile, God's standing on the shore saying, stand up. Stand up for me. Stand up for something. Please do something. If not, these people, they might never get to know me. They might never get to experience my love. There are family members that you have that never experienced Jesus' love before. There are friends that you have, and they're dying for you to serve them because they want to know what Jesus looks like. There are people that you work with, even people that you go to school with, who they don't really know the love of Jesus. Instead, Jesus is just a bunch of rules that we follow. But we know Jesus to be a relationship with Him. And all they're doing is their life is crying out for you to serve them. Stand up. I think Dr. Perkins said it yesterday. We don't go to church. We serve at church. We don't just live our lives. I mean, we use our lives to serve others, but for too long, we've been just coasting down the river, watching these white rapids happen with no problems in the world. My favorite passage in the Bible is in Philippians, and if you have your Bible, as the new campus minister, I couldn't say this before, as the new campus minister, bring your stinking Bible to chapel, okay? Bring your Bible to chapel. I don't know if this is okay. Download the app on your cell phone. That's okay with me. What was that? Not the Facebook app, the Bible app, man. That's okay with me. If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians. Philippians. On my Bible, it's page 977. And I don't know if that helps you. Over and over in the life of Jesus, He begs for unity. Over and over in the life of Jesus, He asks us to love one another. They will know that you are Christians by our love. They will know that you're my disciples when you love one another. In his prayer, the high priestly prayer in John 17, He just says, he prays for unity. God, let them be united as me and you are one. When you get to Philippians, and in my opinion, in my professional opinion, I don't know if I'm a professional at all, but in my opinion, Paul is in love with this church. I mean, he is in love with them. Probably between that and 1 Thessalonians, man, you see Paul really caring, and he poured his heart into these people. And you see that as you read through Philippians. In the first chapter, he says, every time I think about you, I thank God for you. He loves these people. And in the midst of, let's call it a love letter, in the midst of this love letter, he finds the importance here in chapter 2 to say this. Look at verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Tell me which television show you can watch that and get that from. You can't. Tell me which commercial or which magazine, which website says this. Because it doesn't. This is so countercultural to our world. Don't look after yourself. It's okay to make sure your needs are met. Look after the needs of the others. Those right next to you. He says at the beginning, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from his love, pretty much if you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian at all, verse 2, then make my joy complete. Paul, how do I make your joy complete? Yeah. Jesus, how do I make your joy complete? By being like-minded. Being the same in spirit and in purpose. Moving for the same Jesus. Moving for the same God that we just sang is still alive and inside of us. And see, that's what Paul is saying. Man, if you have any encouragement from Christ, if you call yourself a Christian, act like it. Consider those others better than yourself. I have a hard time with this. I have a hard time with this. My wife, I do a good job with her. I have to live with her. No, I don't mean that mean. But other people, I have a tough time with this. So as I read this, I think to myself, okay, Paul, that's really easy for you to write. How do you do it? He takes care of that for us. Look at verse 5. Memorize this verse. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. Simple enough. How do I do this? How do I be selfless? How do I consider, how do I serve those who need me? How do I save those who are in addiction? How do I help them? Those who don't need Jesus. Those who are disabled. How do I help those? How do I serve them? Verse 5 says your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. Paul, what does that look like? He takes care of that. Look at these next verses. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Very early on in Leviticus, it says anybody who dies on a cross is cursed. Paul brings that back out in Galatians. Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. But you see, in verse 6, he is in very nature God. But when he saw the separation between you and God, he didn't consider equality something to be grasped. But he let everything go. And he humbled himself. And he became a human. There's one thing, I don't care how strong you are, how smart you are, whatever. You will die unless Jesus comes back first. And it says that he became a man, and by becoming a man, he becomes obedient to being a person. That includes death. Even death on a cross. How do I act like Jesus? Jesus considered all of us greater than himself in one of the greatest actions in mankind. The greatest, besides the resurrection. The most selfless act, possibly the most beautiful. He goes to the cross, becomes obedient to death. So if you're asking yourself, how do I become like Jesus? You consider others better than yourself all the way to this point. What happens when you do? Look at what happens with Jesus. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. This doesn't make sense. This passage just doesn't make sense. You have God who decides that he's going to come to earth and become obedient to death. So God decides that he's going to die. And then because he dies, he's exalted again? That doesn't make sense. Sometimes being a Christian shouldn't make sense. Serving to the rest of the world doesn't make sense. Considering other people's needs, it doesn't make sense. Sometimes showing the love of Jesus to the world, it doesn't make sense. Stand up. If you're calling yourself a Christian, it's time to stand up. I'm tired of watching everybody pass by. I'm tired of being friends with the guy who's just coming out of drug addiction but knows nothing about Jesus and not showing him Christ's love. I'm tired of bragging about the non-Christian friends and just trying to blend in. Man, stand up. Tell them where you stand. I'm tired of letting the world just run down this crazy current while I'm floating on my backpack. And man, it's time for us as Mid-Atlantic Christian students, as Christ followers, to stand up. Stand up. You have opportunities. Sunday Night Live, there will be that gym's going to be packed. And not only are we trying to recruit students here to make them extraordinary Christian leaders, but we're also trying to change lives. As a former youth minister, that's where we got a lot of our non-Christian kids to come. It's to SNL. You have a great opportunity to help out and serve there. Martin Luther King Day, there will be people who are going to see you serve. And when they ask you why, man, you can tell them about the Jesus you believe in. Get plugged into a church and serve. So that while you're serving, you can be the hands and the feet of Jesus. There are people all around you, down the street, I would even imagine on Poindexter Road, that need to see the love of Jesus. What better place? What a better group. There's no better group of students than this. Can I tell you about one of my favorite basketball players of all time? His name is Stacey King. If you've ever heard of Stacey King, raise your hand. Awesome. Okay. He won 3 straight championships with the Chicago Bulls. He was drafted in the 80s before I was born. He rode the bench. He wasn't a starter. He played center or power forward, meaning he was tall and big. So he got rebounds and dunked, I'm sure. There was a game in 1990 where they were playing against the Cleveland Cavaliers, Chicago Bulls versus Cleveland Cavaliers. And they go into overtime. That game right there is the game where Michael Jordan scored his most points ever. 69 points in one game. Greatest basketball player ever to play. Scored 69 points. My favorite player, Stacey King, he scored 1 point. He went 0 for 4. He got to the free throw line with everyone staring at him. He misses his first shot, makes his second. He scores 1 point. But to Stacey King, that's the night that him and Michael Jordan scored 70 points. That's you. Some of us will be Michael Jordans. Not me. I want to be a Stacey King. They won that game. No one will ever hear of Stacey King. Matter of fact, I couldn't find him in the box score. You've got to work to find those people. But when you and I have the mentality that Jesus Christ had, when you and I have this mentality of considering others better than ourselves, man, we can win. We can win. We may have to go to overtime to do it. But when you and I decide that we're going to stand up for the Jesus we believe in, when you and I decide that we're going to stand up for the God that's still alive, the one that we just sang about, the one we just sang to, when you and I decide that we're going to stand up for that, we can win. And I believe it. We're going to sing this next song. If you believe that we can make a difference as a group of Christians, as a group of believers, as a school, and as individual students, I want you to stand up when we sing this song. Think about it before you do. If you don't, and if you're out, that's okay. But when you stand up, you're making commitment to the people around you and to the Jesus that we serve. Let's pray. Father, I'm challenged by your word. And Lord, I thank you for the example that Jesus set. God, I'm grateful for someone that I believe in and someone that I can follow. Lord, I pray that as this semester continues, Lord, that we don't forget about the reason we're here. And that's to serve you. Father, I'm humbled by the actions that Jesus took to die. But God, I'm hopeful because of the actions you took to raise him from the grave. Lord, that's the reason we stand and that's the reason we sing. We pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. If you believe that we can make a difference if we stand up in this community and in this world, stand and sing with us.
Soften my heart to break me apart, and I need you to soften my eyes to see that you're shaping my life. And all I am, I surrender. Trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. I need you to soften my heart, to break me apart, and I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. Sing, all I am, all I am, I surrender. trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Give me faith. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Sing it out. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. And my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. And I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Yeah. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give